Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. We've come to the end of an era in North Texas. The Wright Amendment, which for 35 years placed major restrictions on how airlines could do business at Love Field, will expire on Monday, October 13th. That change will have implications for American and Southwest Airlines, based as they are in Fort Worth and Dallas. But what about all the passengers who fly and start and end their trips at DFW and Love Field airports? How will schedules, ticket prices, and traffic change for us? My guests this hour are both journalists who cover the aviation industry. Andrea Ollis writes for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Terry Maxson is with the Dallas Morning News. Welcome both of you to Think.
Our pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with a little bit of history. How did the Wright Amendment come into existence in the first place, and what were the justifications given for it?
Well, I think we get a lot of emails, Andrea and I, about people who are unhappy about the conspiracy to limit service at Dallas Love Field. But you really have to go back 50 and 60 and 70 years to understand the Wright Amendment. There were very solid reasons for its implementation to begin with. The federal government forced Dallas and Fort Worth to come to an agreement about where to put a common airport. Federal government didn't want to have to mediate the disputes about who would get routes, who would get money for airports. They wanted one airport where they could put all their resources. And that shotgun wedding culminated in the 1960s with a new airport that opened in 1974. So to understand the reasons for the Wright Amendment, you really have to go back and understand that the animosity and dislike the two cities had for them in the 30s, the 40s, and 50s, and 60s, and how it was a deal brokered and started an era of cooperation. So into that, we have one airport, an agreement to close down the municipal airports to airline traffic, and Southwest Airlines comes along after the agreement to do that, after all the other airlines had agreed to move to the new airport.
Let me clarify. Southwest didn't exist during the time that the airport was under construction, DFW Airport. Is that right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. The Fort Worth and Dallas signed the agreements in 1968. In December of 1969, all the airlines flying in the DFW area agreed to move to the new airport. But again, Southwest Airlines was just a concept then. They didn't start flying until June of 1971. And in November of 1971, their CEO said, "Hey, we thought about it. We're not going to move to the new airport." And that ensued, from that ensued a bunch of lawsuits that wound up with the court saying, "Dallas, you can kick Southwest out of Love Field, but only if you close down Love Field. As long as Love Field is open, Southwest Airlines can fly there." So in 79, just 5 years after Dallas-Fort Worth opened, you had the deregulation of the airline industry and Southwest desire to quit being just an intrastate airline. It wanted to start flying to New Orleans. And from that, we get the Wright Amendment, which was a compromise that nobody really liked. It limited Southwest out of Dallas Love Field, but it let Dallas Love Field to continue operating and let Southwest Airlines expand its service out of Love Field. So, you know, good for the consumers. Wound up be good, but you have to go back and understand that the DFW airport creation was the settlement of decades of animosity between the two cities and Southwest continued existence at that time, and Love Field's continued existence was from the eyes of the leaders of Fort Worth and Dallas, a threat to that hard-fought truce, you might say.
And Andrew, if you can explain for us the restrictions that the Wright Amendment actually placed initially on operations out of Love Field, just sort of give us a point by point.
So initially, the Wright Amendment limited access, limited nonstop flights to states that were not contiguous to Texas. You could only fly nonstop to New Mexico, Oklahoma, Louisiana, and Arkansas. There were only certain states you could fly to. There was actually a move in Congress. The Shelby Amendment actually added three additional states to that sort of area of influence that you could fly to. And then right before the compromise agreement was made in 2006, Missouri actually got added to that list as well. But initially, it just limited flights to only the contiguous states abutting Texas. And so you were not allowed to fly to, say, Los Angeles or Chicago or New York. And it really was from the viewpoint of the Fort Worth leaders they felt that the city of Dallas should have shut Love Field down. That was the original agreement when they decided to create DFW Airport, was the fact that Love Field was supposed to be closed to commercial passenger service. Meacham Airport had also been closed to passenger service, and Fort Worth felt like they held up their part of the deal. And here was Southwest now saying, wait a minute, we want to continue flying commercially out of Love Field, and we have a court order saying we can. And so it was really contingent upon Jim Wright. He decided that, well, we need to have this amendment pushed through Congress, which actually was an amendment to an Aviation Noise Abatement Act in 1979 that would end up restricting the flights out of Love Field.
Was Meacham as active as Love Field back in the day?
No, it wasn't. In fact, Fort Worth had built what was called Great Southwest Airport, whose footprint is just south of the existing DFW Airport. And the original agreement was that Dallas and Fort Worth were going to go on this. And together on that airport, Dallas backed out, and legend, I don't know the truth of it, was that when they realized the terminals were going to face west toward Fort Worth, any agreement they had kind of disappeared at that point. So Fort Worth built that airport, and there was still a little bit of traffic, but it was not a success. Dallas Love Field, which was rebuilt and put in its current terminal location in 1958, far outstripped the number of passengers flying out of Great Southwest. So that's kind of the situation we were when DFW Airport opened. And at that point, Great Southwest closed, like promised, and Love Field, which was supposed to be just for general aviation and corporate, still had Southwest Airlines flying there.
So DFW certainly has expanded in 40 years of existence, but it quickly dwarfed any other airport in the region once it was built and in place, right? The airlines were eager to fly in and out of the airport, and was it successful from the start?
I would say it was successful, wouldn't you, Andrea?
Yeah, I would say it was, because all the airlines had agreed, like Terry had mentioned, they had signed a contract saying, we are going to move from Love Field to DFW Airport. And so you had Braniff. And at the time, in 1979, American Airlines also moved its headquarters from New York here to Fort Worth, and as well started their large hub at DFW Airport, flying in and out. You also had Delta built up their hub there as well. Once deregulation happened through the 80s, you had over 200 flights a day by Delta Airlines flying out of DFW as well. So the airport was fairly successful. I mean, there were some, you know, bumps in the road, because like the aviation industry constantly has ups and downs with spikes of fuel prices when there's an accident, things like that. But consistently, DFW Airport was growing. It was adding flights, was adding carriers in the deregulated aviation industry.
One of the issues there, and seemed to be propelling a lot of the concern from the Dallas and Fort Worth officials, was that the airport was built with borrowed money, with revenue bonds, who were secured with promises that revenues at the new airport would pay off the bonds. And so I think there's a great deal of concern among the people who had bought the bonds and the people who underwrote the bonds, that if Love Field is allowed to grow, then are you going to be able to pay off our bonds? Now, as it turned out, that never really became an issue. In fact, where we were talking about, what, $300, $400 million in bonds back at that time, they now have, I think they're going, if I remember the number correctly, they're going to be have $6 billion of indebtedness at one point. And they keep making the bond payments, never missed, still have a very high investment grade rating. But back then, you don't know. What if suddenly American moved back to Love Field? What if Delta did? What if Braniff did? Never happened, but there were concerns then.
So the construction of DFW, though, was the major factor in American's decision to really put its headquarters in Fort Worth?
I wouldn't say that. I believe you can put it along with all the other corporate relocations, like putting JCPenney's moving from the New York area to here, ExxonMobil moving its headquarters here. I think it was just it was considered a good place to do business. Plus, it was a lot more central. Now, the underlying question there was, did American decide to build its biggest hub in DFW because they relocated here, or did they relocate here because they saw that this was a very good place to build a hub? I don't know. This was happening in a great period of flux in the airline industry. Braniff, which didn't believe the Airline Deregulation Act of 1978 would stay and that airlines would soon not be able to pick whatever route they wanted to rather than wait 2 or 3 years for the federal government to give approval, kind of dismantled their hub so that they could start service on as many routes as possible. And into that, American greatly expanded. Delta, to a lesser extent, expanded their hubs. So I don't know if that answered the question, but there was a bunch of moving parts there all at once.
We're talking about the end of the Wright Amendment and the history of DFW Airport with my two guests, aviation writers Andrea Ollis of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram and Terry Maxson of the Dallas Morning News. Welcome back to the conversation in a couple of minutes. If you'd like to join us, you can email think@kera.org or call in to 888-694-6931. You can also send me a tweet at Chris Boyd Think.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education, offering a new certificate program in project management November 3rd through 7th on the SMU campus. Information at smu.edu/project management.
It would have been great if it would have expired, you know, 6-7 years ago when we were doing all this traveling to begin with.
I'm excited for it because I will have direct flights to Nashville. And that's where I usually go.
Just the other day, instead of being able to fly straight out to Washington, D.C., I had to stop in Houston. And that was right when the bad line of storms came through and ended up getting stuck till 4 in the morning instead of just being able to go straight out. Now, forget that. Man, I cannot wait.
You just heard Sandeep Popana, Diane Whittington, and Wes Roberts talking to KERA intern Pablo Araúz Peña at Love Field Airport yesterday about the lifting of the Wright Amendment. My guests here are ready to talk about that as well. We have aviation journalist Terry Maxson of the Dallas Morning News and Andrea Ollis of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. The Wright Amendment ends Monday, October 13th. If you'd like to join our conversation about this, call in to 1-800-933-5372. Okay, so we have a lot more restrictions being lifted on Monday. What changed with the 2006 compromise, and was the assumption always that this would happen in 2014?
Well, in 2006, one of the immediate changes that travelers out of North Texas saw was through ticketing. Southwest was finally able to advertise and market and actually sell you a ticket that was a one-stop. For example, you could fly from Love Field, stop in Albuquerque, and then on to Los Angeles with basically your wheels touching down, and then you get to continue on to Los Angeles. They could not do that before 2006. That didn't mean people didn't try to book Southwest itineraries where they were booking a ticket from Dallas to Houston and then doing a nonstop Houston to Baltimore. But in 2006, they were able to actually just do it all through the Southwest website, and Southwest could promote the fact that they actually had through ticketing. So that changed in 2006 immediately after the Wright Amendment compromise agreement was reached and signed into law by Congress. The restrictions you're seeing lift on Monday are basically that they can fly to any destination in the United States now, but there are some restrictions that are staying in place. There will not be any international flights flying out of Dallas Love Field, and Dallas Love Field is also restricted to only having 20 gates. At one point in the earlier part of 2001, the city of Dallas had looked at a modernization plan with 32 gates at Love Field, but the compromise agreement restricted that to only being a 20-gate facility.
There is certainly there would be demand for 32 gates, and lots of airlines are interested in being there. Terry, can you tell us a little bit about the situation that's going on now with Delta, which we've just learned will stay at Love Field, will be able to stay at Love Field through the end of the year?
That's correct. The 20 gates may it obviously won't meet the demand that there could be. In the 2006, they divvied up the gates like this. They said, okay, Southwest, you have 15 at the old terminal. You can have 16. And American Airlines, you have 3 at the at another old terminal. You can have 2. And Continental Airlines, you've got 2. You can keep 2. And Continental Airlines was merged with United Airlines. So we had United Airlines with 2, American Airlines with 2, and Southwest Airlines with the bulk at 16. Well, in the settlement with the Department of Justice, American Airlines agreed, in order to get approval of their merger with U.S. Airways, to surrender gates at some airports, including their 2 gates at Dallas Love Field. The Delta applied for them. Southwest applied for them. The DOJ said that neither of those would promote competition like we're seeking in the settlement, but Virgin America will. So you can pick any airline to get those gates as long as they're named Virgin America. And so Virgin America has it. So, but Delta has been flying first. They started in 2009 flying to Memphis, and then in 2012 they started flights to Atlanta. They could do that beyond the Wright Amendment area because the Wright Amendment limited its restrictions to airplanes with more than 56 seats, and Delta's regional partners were using 50-seat airplanes to do that. So right now they have five flights a day to Atlanta on the 50-seat. They wanted to fly on 117-seat bigger jets once the Wright Amendment expired. So you have Delta One NN and United saying, we don't have room, and Virgin American saying, we don't have room, and Southwest Airlines saying, we need more room. And so they just didn't make room for it. Now, Delta outside counsel threatened to sue, and sometime in the last few days, Southwest Airlines has agreed to make a little bit of room for Delta so they can continue their schedule at their gates, and United is going to provide them space at their ticket counters and other space. But it only goes through January 6th. Now, January 6th is the date that Southwest adds cities 16 and 17 to the 15 they'll previously add to their Love Field schedule. So at that point, I believe Southwest is saying, okay, we don't have any more room for you in our gates. On January 8th, United expands its schedule, which is just regional jets, 7 to Houston will expand to 12. And so they'll say, no, we don't have room. And Virgin America starts out with 9, goes to 13 in late October, and goes to 16 next April. They're saying, well, we can accommodate this little airline seaport that only has 2 flights a day to El Dorado, Arkansas, but we can't accommodate what Delta has. So we got a good battle going here, and that's just now. What happens if JetBlue says, you know, we really would like to fly from JFK to Dallas Love Field. Right now they have no flights from New York to the DFW airport. Or if Frontier Airlines from Denver says, you know, we'd like to fly into Dallas Love Field. So as Andrea said, there is an absolute limit of 20. And Delta is arguing that they need space that the airlines who control the gates say we can't have. And so we don't know how this is going to come out. We one interesting deal on the 2006 compromise didn't just say 20 gates and that's it. They said, and you cannot do things like roll stairs out to airplanes away from the gate. There can't be a pseudo 21st, 22nd, 23rd gate. You have to unload and load at the gates. So you also have that case where Seaport, which has little 9-seat Cessna jets, are going to have to pull into a gate to do it. The compromise in the federal law that enacted the compromise is very clear that they can't unload and load away from a gate.
Sounds like you don't think we're done with this.
I don't know. I don't know. Is there a market for 5 flights from Love Field to Atlanta? I don't know how much of this is posturing and territorial battles and how much of it is a real desire to launch service. It is interesting that American Airlines executives, the new American Airlines executives, the one who took over after the merger, said, we would have used those gates to fly to our hubs in Charlotte and Philadelphia and wherever. So whereas the old management kind of said, you know, Love Field is not where our future is. Eventually they said that. The new one said, we could have used them, just like Delta is using them and like United Airlines is using them for smaller airplanes flying to hubs.
But as Terry said, it is this really posturing. We're just not sure. I mean, you look at United, they aren't actually beefing up their schedule with mainline flights to, say, Chicago, to their hub in Chicago, or to San Francisco or Los Angeles. It's still these little regional jets that are flying to their large hub in Houston. And it remains to be seen, quite frankly, on how much utilization Virgin is going to be able actually to sustain. They are moving their operations from DFW Airport, where they currently fly 6 flights a day between Los Angeles and San Francisco. And here at Love Field, they're going to be flying to 16, 18 flights a day to 5 destinations in markets that they just haven't served out of here before. So it's not clear, are they going to be able to sustain that level of service? Is there going to be enough demand for that?
Are the fees comparable per passenger or per flight or per gate or however they are calculated, whether an airline is operating out of Love Field or DFW?
I can't. Every airport has their own fee schedule. I believe it's cheaper per passenger at Love Field, but I don't really know that. I know DFW fees have been going up, and they have been fighting very hard to restrain that. But I don't know the answer to that. I don't think that is probably a factor, the operating cost of either airport. It's more where they think they can be more successful getting enough passengers to load their airplanes. And one of the things Virgin America said was, well, you know, they're moving from competing against the 800-pound gorilla at DFW to compete against the 800-pound gorilla at Love Field, Southwest Airlines. And so it seems like you're just picking your gorillas. But they really the difference they make is most of Southwest traffic at Love Field starts and ends their flights at Love Field. They're not connecting DFW Airport. American has this enormous hub, over 500 flights a day and nearly 300 American Eagle flights. Or so you have about 800 flights that can feed their DFW to LAX flight. And one of the reasons that current management says it's going to affect us but not very much is because they say, well, if we can't get a Dallas to LAX, a Los Angeles passenger, we'll just fill up the airplane with the Abilene to DFW to LAX or the Little Rock to DFW to LAX. It may not be as profitable as the origin and destination people, the people who start and end their flights here, but they've expressed a little concern. I don't think they're whistling in the dark. I think they've taken a look at it and said, in reality, it's not very much impact.
Yeah, when you look at all the connecting passengers they do have there, I mean, right now, if you look at all the flights to LAX on Monday, there are going to be three that Southwest is going to be running nonstop to LA, and you've got Virgin that's also going to be running about three flights a day to LAX. American has 16 flights a day on a Monday to LAX. They fly pretty much every hour or half hour to Los Angeles. Those aren't primarily customers that are starting their journey in North Texas. They are ones that have been funneling through from Memphis or from Little Rock or from Houston or Abilene or some other city that American has fed them into DFW to then go on to Los Angeles.
We're speaking this hour with aviation journalist Andrea Aulis of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram and Terry Maxson of the Dallas Morning News about the implications of the end of the Wright Amendment on Monday, October 13th. After this break, we will take the calls that we have waiting and we will read some emails.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education, offering a new certificate program in project management November 3rd through 7th on the SMU campus. Information at smu.edu/project management.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. We're talking this hour about the implications of the end of the Wright Amendment next Monday, October 13th, with aviation journalist Andrea Aulis of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram and Terry Maxson of the Dallas Morning News. You can join us at 1-800-933-5372, and that's where we have Joshua on the line in Plano. Hey, Joshua.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
And thank you to your guests. I'm frequently following them online with their blogs about the aviation industry locally. I have ties to it in that my grandfather was vice president of stewardesses under C.R. Smith, the legendary informative CEO of American Airlines for many decades ago. My grandfather always told me stories about having to pick out the plot of land for what became the first stewardess school or school for flight attendants right by what at the time was Great Southwest Airport, later to become DFW Airport. And I remember vividly his stories regarding why this area was chosen was largely because already American would fly between Love Field and Great Southwest Airport on the way to the West Coast. So planes starting in New York would follow through. And the importance for Texas was great to C.R. Smith at the time, being from Texas. So my grandfather actually chose that plot of land to purchase and then develop the school at. And while he left American after before DFW Airport was completed and opened up, his friends still back with American always cited that the main reason for pushing the Wright Amendment originally was to secure what they saw as American's investment in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex and what would become DFW Airport.
Well, Joshua, thank you so much for sharing that story. That's a really interesting perspective. I didn't know that the School for Flight Attendants was in this area.
Yeah, they actually have their flight academy just south of the airport, actually across from 360. The Flight Academy is where they have their flight attendant and pilot training facilities at American Airlines. It's right next to the headquarters across 360 there. It's also near an FAA operations center as well, and they're building a new integrated operations center at American Airlines right next to that Flight Academy school. But he is right that there was a movement by the Wright Amendment. The support for it was to protect the investment. And it was in the investment not just by American Airlines, but also the investment by the federal government into creating DFW Airport. When I spoke with Jim Wright actually last week about the Wright Amendment and why he authored it and pushed it through Congress, he was very emphatic in pointing out that we wanted to protect the investment that was made into DFW Airport. It was only 5 years old at that point, and we thought that in order for it to survive and grow, it needed to have these protections and limiting of Love Field.
So we've talked about what this all means for particularly American and Southwest. Is it good for us passengers that the Wright Amendment is mostly – the restrictions of the Wright Amendment are mostly going away?
Well, I would say certainly if we end the argument that's 40 years old and 35 years old and such about whether or not Love Field should remain open and whether Southwest Airlines should operate there, I say that because every time Andrea and I write a story, someone – wants to resume the argument about whether Love Field should be open, they want to know who dealt with the conspiracy to try to get Love Field closed. I mean, it always attracts that.
There are still Fort Worth residents who say Love Field should be closed even today, that was part of the deal, and the deal is a deal. And the city of Dallas reneged on it by letting Southwest still participate and have air service out there.
Having said that, we have more service to Los Angeles and New York and San Francisco and various other places, and there's more supply. Economics tells you that when there's more supply, unless the demand goes up, then prices have to come down. One way you can get the demand to go up is to bring prices down. So at least for the foreseeable future, I believe we're going to see a break on airfares to those cities served out of Dallas Love Field. Because Virgin America needs to establish itself in the market. Southwest Airlines needs to establish itself in the market more so than they had been through the one-stop service that Andrea talked about. American Airlines needs to not lose those passengers. Spirit Airlines out at DFW Airport, the ultra-low fare, ultra-low service carrier, wants to make sure that people keep getting on their airplanes. So the increased supply. Now, What we don't know, and this is a big question, and nobody knows it, is what about October 2015? Will there be low fares still there? Will all the players at Love Field still be there? Will they find that the competition on a particular route is too busy, and instead of going up against Americans' very heavy schedule to LaGuardia, New York, or to Los Angeles, they decide to move it to Milwaukee or more flights to Baltimore? We don't know that. There is just this whole thing has to be played out, and because it's a new situation, we don't know how it's going to go. Southwest got a nice boost in passengers boarding their planes at Love Field after October 2006, when they could start selling tickets and carrying passengers throughout the U.S. With that one stop. How much more will they get? I don't know. There's one analyst, Helene Becker with Cowan and Company, who estimated that opening up Wright Amendment opening up Love Field will mean $1 billion to Southwest, including $650 million of that incremental extra revenue that they would not have gotten had Love Field not opened up. And the flip side of that is, they wouldn't be getting that much money if there weren't a lot of passengers flying and paying them that. But I have to say, I have no idea. And And we get a lot of opinions from analysts but nobody really knows.
And that's the thing is the analysts are talking about, you know, we are going to see probably some fair sales, fare wars on particular routes. So if you are going to Chicago, which Southwest is now going to be flying to Midway versus, you know, American flying DFW to O'Hare, you're going to see competition on those routes and probably fares will be adjusted to generate demand for those routes. But where you're not going to see that is on your flight to Minneapolis, where American's the only one who flies there, or a flight to Charlotte, where they're the only ones that are pretty much on that market. Those rates are still going to be fairly high. What we don't know, as Terry said, is are we going to see this over a longer period of time? I mean, it's more likely going to be in the short term as they try to stimulate demand, as these airline executives kind of see which routes are working, which routes are not working. You also have to look at the fact that airfares aren't as cheap as they used to be. If you're thinking that we're going to start seeing fire sales of $49 fares out of Love Field, it's probably not going to happen because it costs more these days with the price of oil being what it is. And just Southwest is not necessarily the lowest cost carrier out there. There is Spirit these days. So you do have to take that all into account as you look at what this means for consumers. If you're looking for a certain flight on one of those competitive routes, you may find a really good deal. But if you're on a route that's maybe only served by one or two airlines, it may not seem that you're getting that great of a break by flying out of Love Field.
Switching gears here, DFW was not among the international airports in the United States that yesterday announced that it would start screening passengers who arrived from East Africa. To be clear, 94% of the passengers from East Africa come through the five airports that did announce measures. But are the airports here equipped? Could they enact those kinds of screening measures pretty quickly if the decision were made that they were necessary?
In discussions I've had with David Magana over at the DFW airport, I know that they do have plans in place. They do have facilities. They've had to deal with this before with SARS, MERS to a lesser extent. There are no direct flights from Africa to DFW airport. As you mentioned,
those anywhere in Africa.
From anywhere in Africa. Mm-hmm. There are no nonstop flights at all from Africa to DFW airport. They do fly into those five international airports that the United States is now going to start screening for. So it would be a lot harder for them to say, oh, are you coming from Africa via Houston or Washington, D.C., to be able to screen those people. But they do have incubation rooms, plans in place. They are part of a regional response program and plan that's coordinated out of Tarrant County Health that would address any possible outbreak or things that they need to deal with in terms of coming to screening of passengers that are coming in from other countries.
And, of course, Love Field has no international flights and has no connecting flights from anywhere that I can think of that would have started in Africa. As we know, Southwest has begun international service, but it's to the Caribbean and Mexico. So you would have a lot longer reach to get there. Of course, Delta is flying there and United is flying there. And for example, you could conceivably fly nonstop from Nairobi or from Nigeria to Houston on United and then take their United Express flight to Love Field. But the entry point is not Dallas. It is Houston. And that'd be a logical place to screen.
Briefly, have you ridden the Orange Line?
I have not. I would like to do that. And I'd also like to kind of compare how long it would take to go from downtown Dallas to DFW versus to the Love Field station, which isn't actually at Love Field. It's across the fence from Love Field, and see how long it would take to get a shuttle bus from there to the terminal. One of the things that we're going to be watching very closely is that with all these extra flights into Love Field, how crowded is it going to make the streets around Love Field? Because you can easily make an argument there's going to be thousands more people coming in and out of Love Field every day. And it would be great if there were a DART station right underneath the terminal. There isn't, so we'll see how that works. But I intend to go out to DFW and see how that works. I think it's great that they now have the DART light rail transit into DFW Airport.
Terry Maxson is an aviation journalist for the Dallas Morning News. Andrea Allis is an aviation journalist for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. It's been great to have you both here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.